I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter number 24. The 24th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We want to read some verses from this passage of God's Word. We'll commence reading, because of time, at verse number 22. That's Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 24, commencing to read at the verse number 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, while Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We end our reading there. Keep your Bibles open as we come to study the Word of God tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious Word. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will help me to preach the word that thou hast given to me. Thank you for the time spent in thy presence and in the study seeking a word from thee. And, O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will take this word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And so to this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost. O God, fill me to the uttermost. I take, please, Lord, undertake for me. And I pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the 24th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles is another opportunity that Paul is having, God is giving to him, to witness for his Lord and his Master. Now, the background to the chapter, it really commences in the chapter 21 when Paul is going up to Jerusalem. Remember, Paul is on a journey to Rome. And he intends to go to Jerusalem, and there he is going to take a love gift that the Gentile believers were sending to the believers there in Jerusalem. Of course, he was also going to preach the gospel to the Jews there in Jerusalem. Now, whilst Paul was worshiping there in the temple, we find that the devil started a stir, and the Jews stirred up the people against Paul. And of course, the reason why they stirred that up effort against Paul was, in actual fact, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to get some way to get Paul into the position that they would be able to kill him. And therefore, this was in their plan. But you know, God overruled at that particular situation, because the captain of the guard, the chief captain, was a man called Claudius Lysias. And Claudius Lysias, he heard about what they were going to do when he saw this upset and the stirring of the people against Paul. And he sent his forces in, and they brought Paul out from amidst them, and he saved Paul's life. And once again, providentially, God was providing and protecting for his child, and he used the captain of the guard in this situation. Now, whenever Lysias heard that they had another plot to kill Paul, therefore he decided that, unknown to the Jews, he would send Paul to Caesarea. That was the place where the governor was. And so therefore, during the night, when everybody else was sleeping, Lysias sent 470 of his soldiers as a guard for God's child to take him safely to Caesarea, and he sent a letter in their hands to the governor, because Lysias was absolutely certain that Paul was innocent of the charges that were being laid against him. And so therefore he decided, I'm going to send them down to Caesarea. And if these people want to accuse Paul, they're going to have to go to Caesarea as well. Well, of course, they didn't waste much time because the high priest, Ananias, and also some of the elders of the people, some of the Pharisees, some of the Sadducees, they went to Caesarea. Now, of course, they weren't sure of the law, the Roman law. And so they decided they would take their attorney with them. They would take their barrister with them. His name was Tertullus. He was a man that was very taken in the Roman law. He was a person that was very, he was known as a man of great oratory in the court. And so they decided to take the very best because they wanted to charge Paul and they wanted to put Paul to death. You see, they of themselves could not put Paul to death. It had to be the authorities that did that. And so therefore, they made their way to make accusation against the man of God. The interesting thing is this. The ones that started the trouble did not go to Caesarea. They stayed back in Jerusalem. They didn't go to Caesarea. But of course, Ananias went. He was the leading church leader. And also, we find the elders of the people. They went to put the charges against the Apostle Paul. And that brings us to, first of all, the accusation. What did they accuse God's servant of? Well, if you look at chapter 24, how it all started. Verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse Paul, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in places most noble, Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding, I will be not further tedious unto thee. I pray thee that thou would hear us of clemency a few words. And then he started to make the accusation against Paul. Now notice how he did it. First of all, he started with flattery. You know, the old world saying is this, that flattery will get you anywhere. And of course, we find that that's exactly what Tertullus wanted to do. He wanted to flatter Felix. He wanted to butter him up and get, therefore, Felix onto his side. Now, it says here that we enjoy great quietness and about the very worthy deeds that are done in this by thy providence. Now, friend, that was a lie. In actual fact, the historians tell us that the Jews hated Felix. They absolutely hated him. And yet he's buttering him up. He's flattering him. He's saying something that is not true. We're really enjoying you, Felix. We love the peace and stability and the worthy deeds that you've done in the nation. It was a lie. But of course, the devil doesn't mind lying. And so we find he says this concerning to try and get Felix onto his side. Because the people, the Jews, they believed that the reforms that Felix had brought in Jerusalem were more for the Romans, not the Jews. And therefore, they were against him. But then he goes on to accuse Paul of being the troublemaker. They accuse him of being the disturber of the peace. He's the ringleader, they said, of the sect of the Nazarene. The word sect there can be heresy. The heresy of the Nazarene. Now, of course, Nazarene, why was it called the heresy of the Nazarene? Because those that were following Jesus were, it was Jesus of Nazareth. And therefore, they were trying to, as it were, it was a demeaning term. That they are of the sect of the Nazarene. And then he continues with all his accusations. And of course, verse number 9, it says, and the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. In other words, they nodded their head and they agreed with what Tertullus was saying concerning this. My friend, there's a lesson here just before we move on. Just because you are religious, religion doesn't change the heart of man. There are multitudes in Ulster tonight and they've got religion. And yet their hearts are far from God. They are filled from head to toe with religion. They go through all the religious exercises of their church or their denomination. And yet they know not the Lord. And their heart was not right with God. And so we find these religious leaders, they were nodding against the child of God. Even though they knew what Tertullus was saying was not true. Yet they were nodding their head in agreement. Yes, that's right. That's right, Felix. What he's saying is true. And they made their accusation against the man of God. Now then we come secondly to the answer. Because if we go to verse number 10, Paul starts to give his answer. It says, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered. Now how did he answer? Did he flatter? Did he flatter Felix? No, friend, he didn't. But he did what a Christian ought to do. You'll find that whenever he spoke, he took the opportunity to answer the accusers, but he employed an exemplary Christian manner of speaking. Because he commenced with respect. He commenced with a courtesy, not flattery. His opening remarks acknowledged the fact that Felix had been there for a long time. He was there for 5 years as a governor up to this time. And therefore he was acknowledging, Felix, you have been here for a period of time, and therefore you know the customs of the Jew. You know exactly what has been going on. And he was acknowledging that he had the benefit of his experiences. And then Paul goes on to refute the accusations that are being made against him, because he has been accused of stirring up the crowd. But Paul said, you know, I was only in Jerusalem 7 days. I hadn't time to stir up any crowd. In actual fact, I wasn't stirring up a crowd. He said, I came to Jerusalem to worship. That's why I came. And all I was in 7 days in Jerusalem. And now they're accusing me. And yet I was in the temple worshiping God. I wasn't there to stir up anybody. But you know, not only did he acknowledge the fact of those objecting to the facts that were untrue, but then he confessed things that were true. Look at verse 14. But this I confess unto thee. He said, I want to tell you, Felix, listen, what they're saying is not true. But notice it says there in verse 14, this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy. Now notice the way. And that's interesting, because in actual fact, the word the way was a first century term for Christianity. And what Paul was saying, as we sang in our opening hymn tonight, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. And what Paul was saying is, I want to confess this. I'm not going to hide this. I'm not going to hesitate here. I'm not denying. I'm not excusing anything. I want to tell you, I belong to Jesus. Now, why was it called the way, friend? Because remember what Jesus called himself. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And therefore, Paul was acknowledging that he was a follower of Jesus. He was unashamedly making a confession. I belong to Jesus. And that was a part of his answer. Yes, he said, what they've said there is untrue. But I want to tell you, this is true. As regards following Jesus, I want to tell you, yes, I do. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you go on down in that verse number 14, he says, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. He says, I believe God's word. I believe all things which were written in the law and in the prophets. Now, friend, let me tell you. You remember what Jesus Christ, when he was on the road to Emmaus, and you remember the two disciples were on that road to Emmaus, and the Bible says that Jesus, from the law and the prophets, he spoke all things concerning himself. Because, my friend, what Paul was saying is this. What the law and the prophets are speaking about, it's pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to Jesus. And I belong to Jesus. And I believe, he said, I believe all things that are written. I'm a believer. Friend, isn't it good to take your stand? Isn't it good to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and stand? And I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. And Paul said, listen, yes, I believe. I believe all the prophets and all the law and what's written in the prophets. And then verse 15, he says, and I have hope toward God. I carry in my breast, because I believe it, I have a blessed hope. I have a blessed hope. And then he says this, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Yes, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Jesus, not only that Jesus died, but I believe that Jesus rose again, and I believe in the resurrection of the just and the unjust. In other words, he's saying, I believe that there's coming a day when man will stand before God. And friend, that's true. Every last one of us. The Word of God says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. Every last one. And there's not a person in this meeting tonight. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you own. I don't care what society thinks about you. Every man shall stand before God someday. And Paul says, I believe that. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. That's what Jesus said too. Jesus told about that day of resurrection. The just are resurrection unto life eternal, and the unjust unto the resurrection of damnation. That's what Jesus said, friend. And Paul says, I believe it. I believe it. And so here's Paul's answer to the accusation. But notice, my friend, what happens here. Whenever Paul stands up and answers for himself, and he gives his answer, look down to verse number 22 now. Here we see the action. What was the result of Paul speaking? What was the reaction to Paul's testimony? Verse 22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, there it is again, friend, that way, he deferred them. And said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matters. And so we find here that having heard all the evidence, it's time for Paul, or time for Felix, to make a decision. So what does he do, friend? It says here in God's word, it says when he heard these things, he deferred them. He deferred them. You know what that means? He just put it off. You see, that was the easy way out for Felix. He knew what Paul was saying was right. He knew what was being falsely accused against him was wrong. But nevertheless, he didn't want to take a stand. He didn't want to say what was right, friend. And so therefore, he used an excuse for his deferral. Do you know what he said? He says, we're going to wait until Lysias, the chief captain, comes, and then we'll find out all the story. Friend, let me tell you, that was only a cop-out. Do you know why? Because Lysias had already sent the letter. Lysias had already told Felix what he thought, that Paul was innocent. And therefore he didn't need to wait. But of course this was his excuse. Can I ask you a question tonight? Why are you not saved? Why have you not come to Christ? What's your excuse? What's the excuse that you're hiding behind? You see, we find that Felix was hiding behind an excuse. Yes, he knew. The Bible said, listen, it says this, he had more perfect knowledge of that way. Now, how did he know? Well, let me tell you this. Caesarea, there was a person who lived in Caesarea. His name was Philip. Who was Philip? Philip was the evangelist. And so therefore, in the place where Felix lived, there was an evangelist who was preaching the word of God. And he had knowledge. Because of the faithfulness of God's servant, he had knowledge. Felix had knowledge of that way. He knew about the Lord. He knew about God's salvation. He knew he needed the Lord, as Paul was speaking about. But he deferred it. He knew about Christ the way, but he put it off. He put it off using the excuse, hiding behind the excuse. But friend, God knew exactly that that's all exactly it was. It was simply an excuse. Also, not only because of the evangelist, Drusilla. Drusilla, my friend, was a person who had a knowledge of Christ. She knew about Christ. We'll come to that in a moment. But she had a knowledge about these things. And so therefore, in his very house, there was a woman who knew all about this. So the Bible says his action was this, that he deferred it. Now, why did he defer it? Here's the question. I'll tell you why. Because of the fear of man. He was afraid of stirring up the people. He didn't want to stir up the Jews against them. He wanted to keep the peace with the Jews. And therefore, rather than make a decision that was right, he decided to defer it. And I believe there are people here tonight, and you know that you need to be saved, and you know God's way of salvation, but you're not saved. There's the fear of others. What would I say tomorrow? Or what would I say during the week if I went into work and said I got saved in the mission? My friend, tell me this. What if it's said in work that you're gone next week and you're going to hell? What about that? What about that news? But you see, you're afraid. You're afraid of what others think. You're afraid of what man's going to say. And so therefore the Bible says he left Paul bound. He left him in house arrest. Why? Because of the fear of man. He knew what was the right thing to do, but he didn't do it. And I believe before God, there's people in this meeting tonight, and you know what's the right thing to do, but you haven't, to this moment, done it. You know what the Word of God says? The fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of the snare of man. What would your family say? What would your friends say? What would your wife say? What would your husband say? What would your children say? If you get right with God, what would the countryside say? Let me tell you, friend. My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. Will you come? Will you come? And the Bible says his action was this. Although he had perfect knowledge of that way, he put it off. He deferred it and put it off. And that's what some of you have been doing for years, friend. With the knowledge of your need of God's salvation, you have been putting it off and telling your soul some other time. Putting it off. But there's an interesting something happened. That day. Something happened that day. Even though he deferred it, something happened in Felix's heart. Let me show you. In verse number 22, it says this. Or verse 23. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister unto him. And then it says this. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. And he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. You see, something happened that day. There was a stirring in his soul. He desired to know more. And for a moment, or for a little time, Felix had to leave Caesarea. But then Felix came back, and Drusilla came back to Caesarea. And whenever they came back, they sent for Paul to hear of his faith in Christ. God's stirring Felix's heart. And that's what I pray that God is doing tonight. That's what I pray that God has been doing even in the nights that are past, as some of you have been in, that God has been stirring your heart concerning eternal things. That God has been speaking to your heart and challenging you concerning your need of God's salvation. You see, friend, do you know how Paul and Felix came together? The devil's crowd had a plan to have a trial to kill him. But God overruled the plan. And God overruled in taking this blessed opportunity to speak to Felix's heart concerning the issue of a soul. And unknown to the rest, he sends for Paul again to hear about the faith in Christ. Have you a concern tonight? Are you concerned about your soul's salvation, friend? Do you love your soul enough to hear more about God's salvation? And then we come to verse number 25, and here's the consideration. It says this, "And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." You see, Paul took the opportunity to speak to this man concerning his soul. He didn't plead that he would be released. He didn't say, "Felix, you know, I'm wronged here. I shouldn't be here in house arrest. I shouldn't be in prison. Let me out." "No, I'm concerned about my freedom." No, friend, he was concerned about the soul of Felix. And what concerns you more than anything else, friend? Maybe there's a parent here. Tell me, are you more concerned about your child's education or your child's salvation? Which matters most? You know, I see parents, let me tell you this, and to get their child the best of education, and I'm not denying they need education, friend, but let me tell you this, put things in their proper place. I've seen parents, let me tell you, and they drive for miles and miles and miles to take their children here, there, and yonder to get their education. But they wouldn't drive them, let me tell you, 100 yards to get them to a gospel meeting or a youth fellowship meeting. No, that's a botheration. But it's not a bother for education. What about your priorities, friend? Is the salvation of your loved one's soul more important than their education or their position in this world? Which matters most? Be honest before God. What are you spending more time on? What are you spending all your efforts on? To get them a better education, to get them a better place in society, to get them better employment, to get them better job? Is that what you're concerned more than anything else? I've said this before God. And I mean this, when my kids were small, I told the Lord, I'd happily that they brushed the streets and they knew Jesus. Because, friend, that's more important. It's more important than anything else. And here we find that Paul has an opportunity. And Felix comes and he says, "Tell me more about your faith. Now tell me, what's Paul going to do? Is he going to sugarcoat it? Is he going to try to appease? Is he going to try to please?" Notice what the Word of God says there. Look at that. Look at verse number 25. "And as he reasoned." See that word there? It means to mingle thought with thought. To discuss. You see, the salvation of your souls, a most reasonable thing. What does Isaiah the prophet said? "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." That's what God says. Come and reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is nothing more reasonable, friend, than a man that's heading to God's eternity and know that he could be in God's eternity before tonight's out. There's nothing more reasonable that that person gets ready for eternity. There is nothing more reasonable, man. You get up in the morning, you put your shoes in the morning, but you don't know who's going to take them off in the evening. Is it not reasonable that you're ready for eternity if God could call you in the moment of time? And so it says here that Paul reasoned. He mingled thought with thought. He discussed with him. And what did he talk about? What did he talk about? Tell me, if you're in the presence of a non-converted person, friend, tell me, and you had a lot of time to talk to him, what do you talk about? The weather? Politics? What's happening in the world? Or you talk with the Lord? Where does Christ come in? Where does the salvation of that soul come in? It says that Paul reasoned, and what did he reason? He reasoned about three things, about righteousness. And then he talked to him about temperance, and then he talked to him about judgment to come. I'll tell you, this is serious business. Because the issue of his soul is serious business. And he was pleading for the soul of the man. Yes. That can send him to death. But Paul didn't care. He wanted to get Felix to heaven. You see, friend, his priorities were right. He reasoned of righteousness. What's that about, friend? Being right with God. Being right with God. The state of being right. And you know, friend, let me tell you, whenever Paul looked into the eyes of Felix, to be honest, Felix was anything else but right. He was an unrighteous sinner. Let me tell you Felix's story. Felix was a slave in the Roman Empire. He had a brother who was a friend of Nero. And because of his friendship with Nero, he influenced Nero to give Felix a position. And he did. Because of his friendship, Nero's friendship with Felix's brother, Felix was made governor of Judea. He was governor at this time for 5 years. And yet Felix was a man guilty of cruelty. He was a man of murder. He was a man of deceit. He was a man of greed. He was a man of bribery. He was known for his corruption. He was known for his extortion. He was a sinner. What did Paul lay out before him? He says, Felix, let me tell you something. Here's the standard of God. That's what God's word says. And friend, as Paul reasoned with Felix, let me tell you, he knew he wasn't right. What about Drusilla? She was sitting there too. What was her history? I said that Drusilla had knowledge of the way. She knew about Jesus. And I'll tell you why. She was the youngest daughter of Herod Agrippa. Her father was the one who killed or sent James to death, the servant of the Lord. Her great uncle was Herod Antipas. Who was he? He was the one that cut off the head of John the Baptist. Her great grandfather was Herod the Great. Who was he? He was the one at the time of Jesus Christ's birth. Do you remember? All the children of 2 years and under, he put them to death, all the male children. Because he was trying to get rid of Jesus. That was her history. She knew all about Jesus. She all knew about it because, let me tell you, it was talked in her home. In her upbringing. And my friend, listen, here was a woman that was steeped in iniquity too. And Paul speaks about righteousness, about being right with God. But they weren't. They were living in open defiance against God. That was the first thing he talked on. Now, what was the second thing he talked upon? He said, let me tell you, not only I want to talk to you about righteousness, Felix. He said, I want to talk to you about temperance. And that word there is self-control. Now let me tell you, friend, it's getting hotter now for Felix and Drusilla. Do you know why?
Let me tell you why. Because Felix and Drusilla lived lives of indulgence, extravagance, secularism, selfishness, pride, fleshliness, and lust. Felix was married 3 times. He lived a life of constant orgies and parties. In actual fact, he hired a sorcerer to get Drusilla. His life was out of control. And what about Drusilla, friend? Because she was sitting there too. At the age of 13, Drusilla was married to a prince in Asia Minor. But the marriage was annulled because he wouldn't convert to Judaism. She was a Jewess. At the age of 14, she was given away by her brother to another man, a king of a small domain, Emesa. And she became his wife. At the age of 16, Felix persuaded her to leave her husband and to live in sin with him. Friend, their lives were out of control. They lived as if nothing mattered but them. And is it not true that that's why that you're still in your sin, friend? You want to live your way. Nobody will tell me, not even God will tell me, how I ought to live. I'm the master of my own life. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'll do what I want to do. I'll be what I want to be. Yes, I live in orgies and parties and all the rest of it. I live for filth and sin, but I live it my way. And Paul's sitting in front of these two. And he said, you want to know about the faith in Christ? Let me tell you, I want to talk to you about righteousness, being right with God. And I want to talk to you about temperance. Your life's out of control, Felix. Your life's out of control, Drusilla. And Drusilla was one of the Jewish beauties of the day, but remember this, beauty is only skin deep. And she was far from God. Is that you? Then he said this, I've something more to tell you. I want to talk to you about something else, Felix. I want to talk to you about judgment to come. You know, Felix, just a short time ago, I was sitting in the dock, and you were the judge. But I want to tell you about that day when God brings you to the dock, and God's the judge, and it's coming, judgment to come. Men and women, let me tell you tonight. You might live the way you want to live. You might do what you want to do. You might think that you're God and master of your life. But I want to tell you, God Almighty will have the final say, because God has assigned a day in which he will judge the world by that man that he hath ordained. That's Jesus Christ, his Son. And one day you'll stand before God, and I can tell you this. You'll not live your life. Listen, there's no second chance to live this life again, friend. You get no rerun. But I tell you this. The life that you have lived is on the record of God. It's in his book. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And every man was judged out of those things that were written in the books. The record of your life, my friend, let me tell you this, you and I can forget. But God hasn't. If you're in your sin, thank God if you're saved, God has forgotten. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the covenant that God has made. But if you're still in your sin tonight, I want to tell you, you may have forgotten about the life that you lived. And you say, preacher, I want to forget the life that I lived because I would be ashamed of my past. But what about the day whenever God brings the book and opens the book and the record is read and every sin that you committed in all of your life, friend, will stand before you to call for judgment and call for hell itself as you stand before God. Felix, do you know that payday is coming? And it's you and God. Remember holding a mission like this, friend. It was in Stony Park, as we talked about, and down there off Queen's Avenue. Remember a young fella came into a meeting one night. We were holding it. And after the meeting was over, I was leading someone to Christ, and then I came. And I noticed this young lad was standing. I knew the lad well. He was standing amongst a group of lads. Now this lad came from a very godly home. He was standing amongst a group of lads, and they were all mocking. The young people were standing around and they were mocking the things of God to the young people. I walked over, just over to the door of the tent. The lads were just making their way out through the door of the tent, and I just came to the door and I came to that young lad and I just put my hand up like that and I said, not you, friend, just step to the side. I want to talk to you. The other lads, they looked and I said, no, you can go on. I want to talk to him. It's interesting, friend, let me tell you this. When he was taken out, he wasn't as bold and as brass-necked now as he was when he was standing amongst his mates. I said, lad, I want to tell you something. You were standing amongst that crowd laughing and mocking the things of God. He says, let me tell you, I know your parents. And I know there's not a night that passes but your mother and father's on their knees before God, crying to God to save your soul. And you've been reared in the gospel from your earliest day. And you're mocking the things of God. Let me tell you, remember these words, lad. God is not mocked. I said, let me tell you, I noticed the change in your face whenever I pulled you out from the crowd, your mates. But what about the day when God pulled you out? For everyone shall give an account, listen, of himself to God. Remember those words. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. That's why Amos the prophet cried out with all his heart, prepare, O man, get ready to meet thy God. Meet God you will, friend. And meet God you must. Yes, one day you'll meet God. And Paul reasoned with him concerning these things. Notice the concern quickly. It says this. Felix trembled. Imagine the governor trembling before the prisoner. But well might he do so. Because as Paul reasoned about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, friend, he reviewed his past life. He thought about his present life, still living in sin. And then the judgment to come, the prospects of the future in hell. And the Bible said, he trembled. But notice this. He only trembled. Oh, many a man has sat in a gospel mission that I've preached and others have preached. And they couldn't wait to get out through the door, friend, because let me tell you, they felt that they were even falling into hell itself. When Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, men and women listening to God's servant preaching God's word, expounding God's truth, there were those that cried out, "Preacher, stop! Stop your preaching and lead us to Christ. We feel like we're dropping into hell." Some of them caught hold of the big pillars of the church they were sitting in, lest their seat would take them into hell. The fear and awe of God came upon them. And the Bible says, Felix trembled. But do you notice something? It doesn't say Drusilla did. She was as brass-necked as hell. She had lived in her sin. She was as stubborn in her sin, though she knew all about Jesus. And knew all about him from the day of his birth, for their great-grandfather to tell her. And down the history of the years, her brother was also Agrippa, King Agrippa. Her sister was Bernice, and Agrippa and Bernice were brother and sister. They were living in incest and sin. And with all the knowledge you had, friend, she sat there as hard as nails and went to hell. Well, I've seen men and women sitting in meetings, friend, let me tell you, and they have never batted an eye. And they've never shed a tear over their sin. And they've gone on as brass-necked in defiance against the God of heaven. But here's the last thought. Notice the command. Look at verse 25. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And then he answered. That's what he said. He says, "Go thy way, Paul. Go away. Go away. But go away for this time. Go away now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." You see, friend, here was a man that was brought, confronted with a sin, brought with eternal issues, righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. He even trembled in the presence of God. But let me tell you, conviction's not conversion. It's not repentance. It can lead to repentance. But many a man is shaken in his sin under the preaching of the word of God, friend, and yet went out in their sin. And that's what Felix said. He says, "Go away, Paul. Go away for this time." What is he saying, friend? He says, "I'll not commit myself today." He tried to close it out of his mind. Is that what you have done? Sitting in the gospel, you just try to close it out of your mind, friend. Just go on in your sin. Fill your life with parties. Fill your life with the world. Fill your life with the things of the world. I'll not commit myself today. But, not this day. But when I have a convenient season, I'll call. In other words, I'll do it someday. I'll do it. Someday. I don't intend to be lost. Is there a man or woman in this meeting tonight would dare to say, I want to go to hell. I want to be damned. I want to go to the fires of a Christless eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever in the darkness of the damned. Is there such a fool? Then why are you not saved? But I intend someday. You see, Paul, it's not easy for me today. It's not easy. But when it's easier for me, then I'll come. Sure. There's people sitting in gospel meetings that have said this to me. They said, you know, Mr. McRae, didn't the Lord save the dying thief? And therefore, I'll wait till the 11:59 too. Let me tell you, friend, it is true. You're dead right. He did. The dying thief was about to go into hell, drop into hell, and the Lord saved him on the cross. That's right. But remember, he was the only one he did. That's the only one that's recorded. As the Lord saved him on the 11:59. And you don't know when the 11:59 is, friend. The thief knew, because he knows his dying moments on the cross. You know, Felix's name means happy. But he was anything but it. There he was standing shaking in the presence of the man of God. It is said that the devil summoned his evil forces to consider how best to fool the world into staying in sin and going to hell. He called his demons and he said, what shall I do? And one of the demons says, I'll send me and I'll tell them there's no God. The devil says, we can't do that because man looks at creation. He sees the handiwork of God. Yes, many will know there is a God. Another speaks up and says, Abba, Master, send me. And I'll tell them there's no heaven. And I'll tell them there's no hell. The devil said, that's no use. You see, man in his heart knows there's something more. There's something beyond this life. There's some reason for being here. And there's something beyond the grave. And then another speaks up and said, Master, send me. I'll tell them there is a God. I'll tell them there is a heaven. I'll tell them there's a hell. But I'll tell them there's plenty of time to get ready. And the devil laughed and he said, that's it. That'll take more to hell than anything else. There's plenty of time. And that was Felix promised himself, friend. Now listen, the Bible goes on to say this, that there were several times after that that Felix called for Paul, but it never says he ever called for Paul to hear about faith in Christ again. He wanted Paul to bribe him. Money. You see, friend, his heart hardened that day. And that's what happens. Men and women who tremble under the preaching of the Word of God, and yet they harden their neck. The Word of God says they shall be suddenly destroyed. And that without remedy. I beg you in God's name, don't turn the Savior away from him. Go away, Paul. Come back another day. Go away, Jesus! Go away, Spirit! And come back another day when I have time. When I'm ready. Just be there for me to call. Read the story, friend. He never had another day. Natural fact. Felix died of suicide. He took his own life. Because 2 years after that, he is put out of his position. And another took his place. What a fool. What about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of those that are gathered here tonight. Thou knowest their condition, their position before thee. Thou knowest those that are saved and those that are not. Oh God, in wrath remember mercy. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Is there someone in this meeting tonight, friend? Be honest before God. You know the way. You know you need to be saved. But you're not. It's the fear of man. Have you listened to the devil's greatest lie? There's plenty of time. Some other day. Some other meeting. Maybe Sunday. And God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Are you ready, friend? Oh, get ready in God's name. Prepare to meet thy God. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed. Let's sing that little verse, just as I am without one plea. And as we finish this meeting tonight, as we sing one little verse of this hymn, we're singing it for you, dear unconverted person. And if you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to be ready to meet my God when that call comes. And I want to be ready now. Would love to point you to Christ. Love to lead you to Jesus. Will you come? Just as I am. And if there's someone, that's the desire of your heart. Would you indicate that desire? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just lift that hand above your head, sinner or backslider. You want to get back to the Lord. Friend, in God's name, don't fool around. Eternity. God bless you, sir. You take it down. Is there somebody else? Just lift that hand right now. As your sister plays that little verse, just as I am. Someone else right now. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God. I come. Will you tell the Lord that tonight? You're coming. Someone else in the closing second of this meeting. Would you lift that hand right now? O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, don't go away. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Well, the voice of God is calling, friend. Please, I beg you. Be in time. He may never call again. What a tragedy. In a moment we're going to close the meeting. I'm going to the inquiry room. It's just the other side of the, outside the tent and left. And those two that indicated their desire, I want you to come with us. We'll gather around the Word of God. We'll show you from the book, from God's precious Word, how you can know Jesus. Or get back to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for blessing it. Oh God, seal it in the hearts of many gathered here.
in Jesus' name. People of God said, amen. Friend, come. You say, I didn't get my hand up. Well, come and speak to us. Please, don't go away. Come and talk to us. We'll show you from God's Word how you can know the Lord.